So we'll read the first 11 verses of 2 Peter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from becoming ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is short-sighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, good evening. It's really nice to be back here. It's nice to be home, actually. You know, so coming from someone who is born and raised in another continent, but this is home, and especially this community. We, Jeanette and I, really feel at home here in this church and this community. So it's really, really great to be back after a month away. So, before we look at these passages that Nick has read to us, I would just like to open with a prayer. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, I do thank you, Lord, that, Lord, for safe journeys for Jeanette and I, and that we can be back here among our brothers and sisters, Lord, in Christ. Lord, I do pray that as we look at these verses this evening, Lord, help each one of us to really understand just what you are saying to us, Lord. Maybe some of us in a different way, Lord, but you're speaking to us, and I just pray, open our hearts and minds to these verses and how we can also apply them in our life as well, Lord. I ask this, your son Jesus. Amen. So 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. So the world we live in today is much different from what it was just a few years ago. As you probably know, just everything seems to go so quickly, especially technology. We live in a technological age with vast amounts of information at our fingertips. Adolescents and young adults are accustomed to seeking answers and solutions to questions and difficulties from multiple sources. Many believe the solution to every situation imaginable is available on the internet. They like to see facts, figures, graphs, and supposedly reliable information. Very little today is accepted by faith alone. Although the source of information was much different in Peter's day, they possessed many similarities to what we have today. He lived among a people who sought answers and expected concrete proof. They were engaged in deep thought and philosophy, but with little credence was given to just simple faith. In fact, many were outright skeptical of the gospel. They could not fathom that God would come to earth as a man and give his life as a ransom for sin. Many were reluctant to receive the gospel and believe in Christ by faith. Peter was well aware of the need for an effective witness from believers. For a people that sought proof, changed lives would present the necessary evidence that Peter wanted us to have. Our text today deals with the lives believers are to live among the world. There are times that our actions speak so loud that others can't hear a word we say. If we are to be effective in reaching out to those in need of Christ, we must model our faith before a world. I want to examine these attributes that Peter lists in here in this in these verses. We're to possess and portray as we consider them. How to be responsible living in a reluctant world. Peter opens this epistle with the encouragement that grace and peace can be multiplied to you in knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. That's really good news because we all need as much of God's grace and His peace as we can get. As we look at verses 5 to 11 and 2 Peter, we see that Peter's concern for us is the outworking of our faith and the outworking of that knowledge. Notice with me too that he talks about all sorts of Christian attributes which we should add to our faith. And Peter gives us 7 ingredients for effective and fruitful spiritual growth. But the basis of these attributes is tied to the preceding verses we find in verses 1 through 4, where the divine nature is shown to be the source of our hope in living a godly life. That's why in verse 5, Peter starts with the words, "For this reason." There are many religions in the world that would tell us to add to our lives the attributes that Peter lists. But only in Christianity does the one who asks for these attributes to be manifested in our lives also indwell us to give strength and the ability to produce all that we are asked for. So Peter starts by saying, make every effort, or as other translations would say, applying all diligence, add to your faith. So what does the word diligent mean? It simply means to apply earnest care, careful, constant effort. So let me ask you, are you diligent with anything? We should remember Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Paul writes, God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So you see that Peter said, in your faith, add. Peter assumes faith among his readers, but he doesn't want it to end there. He tells them to add the following things. The first attribute is goodness, or as some versions put it, moral excellence. It has been said that this word also incorporates spiritual courage. It's the ability and the desire to stand up for and display all that is right to a world that is rapidly declining morally. Our daily test is this: how can I extend goodness to others? Also, we're asked to add knowledge. This knowledge of the Most High God and also of His ways as He teaches us through His Word and the events of our life every day. And a daily test for us is how am I doing in learning God's Word? Another attribute is self-control. Peter tells us to add self-control to our faith. This attribute is lacking in our generation. It goes hand in hand with alongside diligence and with discipline. I've listed here several verses, one on temper found in Proverbs 14, verse 17. And this is what it says: a quick-tempered man does foolish things. Verse 29 of 14, a patient man has great understanding, but a quick-tempered man displays folly. And how to control our mouth. This is what Psalms 141, verse 3 says. Set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Keep watch over my door, over the door of my lips. And regarding our eyes, Job said this in chapter 31, verse 1. He says, I make a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a girl. And regarding our thoughts, Psalm 19, verse 14 says, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight. and self-control of our hands. Proverbs 10, verse 4 says this, "Lazy hands make a poor man, but diligent hands bring wealth." Paul often compared discipline and self-control in the Christian life to the same characteristics in the areas of sports. It's funny that we can show such self-control in training our bodies for physical discipline and yet be so relaxed in spiritual discipline. Take to heart the words of Paul, who said in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, he says, "Train yourself to be godly, for physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come." Now, Peter tells us we're also to add perseverance. Again, this is one of the major attributes that is lacking in our generation. We live in an instant society, and perseverance and patience are not exactly the in thing. I think a daily test for us is to learn how to stay the course when times are difficult. From a case study for perseverance, I put together a guess who quiz for you. Having just come back from America, I'm going to teach you a little bit of American history. So, which of these three American presidents am I talking about? George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, or Donald Trump? So, this is an outline of this person's life. When he was 7, his family lost their home, so he had to work to support them. At the age of 9, his mother died. Age 22, he lost his job as a store clerk. He then applied for law school, but he was rejected because of his lack of education. At 26, his business partner died, leaving him with a huge debt that took 17 years to pay off. At 28, his fiancée died, leaving him heartbroken. At age 29, he had a total nervous breakdown and was in bed for 6 months. At age 31, he sought to be the speaker of the state legislature, but was defeated. At age 33, he sought to be elector, but was defeated. At 36, he ran for Congress and lost. At age 46, he ran for the United States Senate and lost. At 48, he sought the vice president nomination for his party, and he lost. At 50, he ran for United States Senate and lost again. At age 52, he was elected President of the United States. Who is he? Washington, Lincoln, Trump. Well, if you said Abraham Lincoln, then you were right. And there is a little thing I thought. By perseverance, the snail reached the ark. Perseverance. The next attitude Peter lists is this. He lists godliness or godlikeness. It's a life of practical holiness, and in many ways it incorporates all the other attributes mentioned in this list. As I quoted Paul earlier in 1 Timothy, physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. So our daily test for each one of us is this. Do others see Christ when they see me? We're also told to add brotherly kindness. The Greek word here is Philadelphia, for which we derive one of the words of love, which is philio, which means brotherly love. It's a simple, old-fashioned, practical caring and kindness for others. We need far more of it today, especially within the church, if we are to shine as a light to the world. And our daily test is, be kind in your judgment of others. And we're told to add love. The Greek word here is agape, which is the type of love that God chose to us, an unconditional love, not just loving the lovable person or loving those who will love you back. It's a no-strings-attached love, the kind which you hopefully experience with God. And our daily test in this attribute is, am I actively sharing what Christ has done for me. So Peter tells us to add these things to faith. And it must be said that when we are not pressing forward in these things, we seldom just stay still. And this is because the Christian life is one of swimming against the tide. And the tide of temptation that stands against us is very strong. If we stop swimming in this Christian life, then the natural consequence is that we are to be taken back in the direction of the tide is going. And that is why Peter adds this emphasis, add. Keep pressing forward. So consider this with me too, a word concerning being productive or ineffective. In verse 8, Peter writes, "For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Peter then goes on to show us the results of adding these attributes to our faith. As other verses put it, we will be useful to the Lord. I like that. I like the thought that the Almighty God could find us useful. Then Peter goes on to mention two problems that hinder us in being useful to the Lord. They are bad eyesight and bad memory. Verse 9 says, "But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins." Let me start with the second problem first. Peter says that some Christians have a bad memory. They have forgotten that they have been cleansed from their sins. They have forgotten the enormous price that Jesus paid to save them. We must fight complacency in our lives. Peter also mentions that some Christians may be nearsighted or blind. So what problem does a nearsighted person have? It's pretty simple. They can see things close up, but have a big problem with seeing anything in the distance. So taken from a spiritual point of view, that means that they can see the here and now, but they can't see the things in eternity. They can't see that the most important things in this life, they can't see that the most important things in this life is that which lasts for eternity. They're not things. There isn't much that can take you with, that you could take with you to heaven. Your car, your television, your movies, your collection of music. None of that will go to heaven with you. Our whole life will pass through the fire of judgment seat of Christ. And only that which is built on the foundation of Jesus Christ will remain. So a person who has 20/20 spiritual vision will constantly remember that the most important things in this life revolve around their character. The things Peter mentioned in these verses, their love and devotion to the Lord and the work done in his name in seeing others come to know and grow in Christ. So there's this question, do you want to receive a rich welcome to heaven? In verses 10 and 11, Peter writes or gives these instructions. He says, "Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Finally, Peter shows us the importance of what he has been talking about. It has benefits for this life and the life to come. As we press forward in our Christian life, being diligent in the characteristics that he mentioned in these verses, Peter tells us that we will not fall or stumble in this life, and that we will receive a rich welcome into God's kingdom when our life is over here. We are all aware that our lives are being observed and scrutinized by others more than we care to admit. The world offers so many opportunities and paths to travel, but many people are looking for the truth. We have the awesome privilege and responsibility to share that truth with those who need to be born in Christ. Every believer is responsible to be a living witness for the Lord. Apart from him, such a task is impossible, but through him we can be used to reach others. Each of us needs to examine our hearts and be honest about where we are we may be active and fruitful for the Lord, but there is room for improvement in each of our lives. I want to be active in my life for Christ, seeking to possess and portray the attributes described in these passages will certainly help ensure that. Christ alone can save from sin, and He alone can equip us to reach others and be a blessing to one another. If there are needs, Christ is the answer. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, I just thank You, Lord, for these words that Peter has given us, Lord, that through Your Holy Spirit. Lord, I thank You for this spiritual journey that each one of us, that we take, that we're privileged to take with You. Lord, and I just pray that in the knowledge that Your grace is multiplied in us, help us to add each one of those attributes, each one of those characteristics, Lord, to our life so that we can better have a better relationship, a closer relationship with You, and better serve You, reaching out to others who may not know Your name, Lord, who may not know anything about You, Lord. But we pray that we can be a real, true witness, Lord, to those around us, in our families, our friends, on the street, and places where we work, Lord. Lord, we ask this through Your Son, Jesus. Amen.